I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 559. The South Park game is so South Park-y. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming to gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda!
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm glad you're cranked up to 11, because I'm like a low five. Like, I am, barely a five right now.
I am cranked to 11 and a half because I have had coffee. I have had Eggos. So I am satiated and sugared up.
I'm glad you are.
See,
bro.
So that brings our average up.
Great.
To really where we need to be, which is we're trying to be like a solid 8.
Yeah.
Now, as long as we're hitting the solid 8s every episode, I'm a happy chiquitita.
So
I'm bringing it. This is going to be a ninja episode featuring Pandalicious. It's the hottest track jumping off in 2017. Pew, 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 pew. No?
Yeah.
Not so much?
No.
World star? That's cool.
No,
that's all right.
No world star today.
No world star today from you? All right.
No.
That's fine. That's cool. It's cool. We'll just keep it moving. Have you had a good week?
Yes. It was a great week. It's just a tiring week. You don't realize how much energy you don't have until you expend it, and you're, like, dying slowly on the inside.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, up until your 30s, you have, like, boundless amounts of energy.
You're like, oh my god, I could do a billion things. And then after 30, you're like, I could do 3 things.
Okay.
And
one of those
capacity.
Is take a nap. One of those,
like,
is take a nap.
If I take a nap, like, I get rejuvenated. But I'm also that weird kind of napper, like, if I fall asleep in a place that's not a bed, like, I will constantly be trying to wake myself up, like, go to bed,
you
go
are
to bed, and then I'll get in the bed, and then I'm like, but I'm awake now. So, like, my body hates me. That's what happens when you're 30. Your body begins to hate you out loud.
Yeah, your body, and betray you. It hates you, and it betrays you. Basically, your body becomes salty as fuck.
It is just a salty bitch.
It is. Which, by the way, I saw this shirt that had a little salt shaker with a face on it that just says salty AF. And I don't know who sells it. I think it's an Etsy store. But I'm going to find it because that shirt is my mantra for life. So let's get into the show. Let's talk about games. I don't have anime to talk about this week. I will have anime to talk about next week. I have game to talk about this week. I wish I could say I had games to talk about this week, but I don't. One thing I will say is definitely make sure that you check out our site, our Facebook page, and b3crew.com. Our homie King Baby Duck was at another anime convention and did a bunch of coverage and some really cool interviews that he's thrown up. So definitely make sure that you check those out. It's really fantastic stuff. Highly, highly recommended. But as promised, Panda talked about Cuphead a couple of weeks ago. She jumped in on that one. I still have not made the purchase of Cuphead because I have to be very careful with my funds. I'm Frugal Fanny right now. I was assigned South Park Fractured But Whole. And so that's what I'm going to be talking about this episode. What I will say is I have not gotten through the entirety of the game, but I'm going to be talking about my whole experience. So if you want to experience the game from beginning to end completely on your own, then this is not an episode that you should listen to, and you should just stop the episode now, and after you play your game, come back and listen to this episode. I'm about 7.5 hours in, and I'm talking about it all.
Oh, man.
So I'll give you like a second to turn this episode off.
To decide if this is the show for you today.
This is the moment. Take your moment. Okay, moment over. For everybody else who stuck around, let's jump right in because I've got a bunch of things I want to talk about. For you guys who maybe don't want to stay around for the whole episode, I'll sum it up. Here's your TLDR for the game. If you liked Stick of Truth, you're going to like Fractured But Whole.
Okay.
Because it's more of the same plus. So let's take a couple steps back here.
Yeah. Walk me through it some more, sis. Walk me through it some more.
So Fractured But Whole is the follow-up game to South Park Studios' first ever game, The Stick of Truth, which is a turn-based RPG game, basically. It is run through the world, find items, use them as weapons, get better gear, buffs and perks, build up your character stats, and turn-based play in the world of South Park. So you have all of the South Park characters that you know and love, most of the locations in the city that are recognizable, the city of South Park. So you have City Walk, which is always referred to as Shitty Walk. With the heavy, really stereotypical accent of the owner. You have all the kids' normal houses recognizable from the street. So Kyle, Cartman, Butters, the new kid, which is the character that you play, that you craft from the beginning of the game, who is basically the key and the hero or heroine of the game, because you do get to choose your sex, as well as what you look like in the game, same as before. But it is turn-based battle play. You battle against sixth graders, you battle against some of the known characters in the universe in the first game. You went through an anal probe level, making reference to that particular episode of the show. You did some stuff with Mr. Garrison, and you did some stuff with Mr. Hat, Mr. Hanky, all those notable characters. So if you're a fan of South Park, it's basically that you get to live in the world of South Park. But again, when it comes to battling other kids and adults and other things, it is all turn-based play.
Okay.
Now, as you guys know, I am not a fan of turn-based play.
No, it's not your ish.
For the most part, it is really the only genre of game outside of survival horror that I go out of my way to avoid because it's just not my bag of tea. But I love South Park. And the way that the South Park game works, even though it is turn-based play, I don't feel the slog in playing it as I do, for an example, playing a JRPG, like Final Fantasy, as an example. You know, because there's just, the menu structure is so deep, and the amount of things to do just seems almost never ending, that it becomes oppressive to me. I think for me, turn-based games on a console feel like work and not like game. And that's why I don't enjoy them. Whereas if I play something turn-based tabletop, like a D&D or something like that, I'm all in.
It's so weird that you say that.
Why?
Though. Like, that doesn't come off like your shtick. I know, like, you grew up on it, so, like,
I did.
That's why.
But back like, in the day, I used to be rolling the 20-sided D!
Like, when I think about young you, like, from my perspective, you never came off nerdy to me. You were, like, the cool older sister with all the friends.
Because that shit didn't come home, and I didn't have all the friends.
So, I'm just saying.
My friends.
The whole perception of what my reality of you looked like versus what actually was happening, like, it's just hilarious to me in my mind, because you never came off as that kind of girl to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
when I was actually allowed out of the house, okay, my friend Jeff Kalu, he was the one who got me into D&D, okay, and it was rare that I was able to go over to Jeff's house. I basically had to be hanging out with my friend Vanessa, who was dating Jeff, to go over to Jeff's house, and then we would get at Jeff's house, and we would, like, watch a movie, make popcorn, and then some of Jeff's friends would come over, and some of Vanessa's friends would come over, and all the girls would go and continue watching, like, Clueless and stuff. And the dudes would go play D&D. And I would be with the dudes playing D&D. Because, I mean, Clueless is fun, but I couldn't watch it every week. So I'd be like, yes, I would like to make a rogue. Hold up.
Okay.
Yeah. That's where my Snapdragon nickname came from, because I used to make my character was named Snapdragon.
Okay.
So with anyway.
With that weird S
yes.
that you'd make.
Yes. That was like everywhere in the 90s for some reason. But anyway, yes, I've been nerdy since 1988.
Okay.
So turn-based tabletop I enjoy, especially if it's a good game, but turn-based electronically I don't. And I think it's just because it makes sense that everybody has to take turns when I'm sitting at a table and I'm playing with a group of people. And it's for whatever reason in my mind, it doesn't make sense that everybody has to take turns one at a time if I'm playing an electronic game against a computer.
Right.
I'm the only body here. Let's go. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for whatever reason, and I really do think that it comes down to just my enjoyment of the South Park franchise as a whole, I loved Stick of Truth. And the turn base didn't turn me off. And I think because it might be that for me, it's just at the line of the amount of things to do and manage that don't feel oppressive. So the way the game is set up is for Fractured Butthole, you're starting the game at the end of Stick of Truth. And in the end of Stick of Truth, they're basically playing fantasy. So all the kids in town were playing out in the streets, and so having to move out of the street when cars were coming, which was funny because you'd be in the middle of the battle and someone would say, car, and everybody would walk to the sidewalk, and a car would go through and they'd scream at the kids, and everybody would go back out to the street, right back to the points where they were and continue battling. But they were playing fantasy, so basically Lord of the Rings. And they were searching for the one true king who can unite the kingdoms of humans and elves. Fractured But Whole picks up where orcs, Moors, are basically about to win and take over, and everybody's looking for the king. And you, the new kid, were the king in the last game. And they find you, we find you, on the toilet trying to push out a poop. So the poop minigame is back, but now it's more prevalent in the game. It's actually one of the collectibles that you have to do. And side quests, basically, that as you beef up other levels, it will open up new titles and new abilities for your character. So you want to find all the toilets in town and drop a deuce in the toilets. And the mini game involves working your analog sticks. I'm playing the game on the Xbox, by the way. So it is a combination of following the directions to work the analog sticks in a certain way, certain combinations of triggers, sometimes in concert with one or both of the analog sticks. So if you can't rub your belly and pat your head at the same time, some of the toilet multi-games are going to be very difficult for you because they ramp up the difficulty as you go. So some toilets are 2-star toilets. There's going to be easy toilets to 4-star and basically win. Some toilets are 4-star toilets. They're not necessarily as easy to win.
Oh, man. When I think 4-star toilets, I think, like, comfortable, cushy, not increased difficulty to shit in.
Yeah, increased difficulty to actually get that deuce out. And you're constantly wanting to get the top ranking, so all 4 stars, because there's 4 or 5 sequences, I can't remember, of the button combinations that you have to do before you will actually drop your deuce. And if you don't get all 4 stars, you don't clear the toilet, so you don't get the ranking. I am right now working on the master toileteer level.
Okay.
So I have like 22 more toilets that I have to 4-star conquer in order to get it. And if I get it, it's going to give me a bonus of like 25 or 30 XP. So in the game, you have XP that experience points that you are constantly trying to get to rank up. The higher your rank, the more you will find amulets and buffs that you can use that will increase the strength level or resilience level of yourself as well as your party. So it's really important to be leveling to open up slots to equip those perks, those buffs. So you have a perk and buff system, you have an XP system. you have a mana system in that you don't have to accrue mana or magic, but you do have to have limited uses of abilities, I will say.
Okay.
So you can't just spam a super strong attack. There are some attacks that you will get for your character that once you use them, it takes a couple of turns for it to rejuvenate for you to use again. But there is no mana bar in the game if you're used to playing RPG games, where typically you have a health bar and you have a mana bar. That doesn't exist in this game. After you drop your first deuce, you as the king come out, you do a couple battles, including a dragon, which is basically a cardboard dragon that was built on top of a radio flyer type wagon that the kids wheel out, and you're able to use your super ability and just knock it out in one punch, and a bunch of the Moors go running like, that kid's amazing, the king's crazy. At the same time this is happening, Cartman is no longer the wizard that he was in the first game. He's now completely changed his clothes and is dressed as the coon.
Okay. So he's done playing Lord of the Rings. Like, he's so over it now.
Right. He is doing this inner monologue as the coon, looking at this reward poster for this ugly-looking cat that has a $100 reward on it because it's lost. Cartman is now wanting to switch games and play superheroes. What he really wants to do is
find this cat, get that money.
Because he wants to use the money to kickstart his movie franchise for Coon and Friends. So he has in his mind this whole movie franchise, because superhero movies, all they're doing is becoming franchises and making money hand over fist, that he can take his Coon and Friends idea to Netflix to get it greenlit and kick off their franchise. So in the middle of the last battle, where Kyle and you, as the new kid, are trying to reclaim the keep, Cartman comes in and is like, no, we're not playing this anymore, we're playing superheroes. All of you other kids can't play with this anymore because you're fucking lame. Everybody, Coon and Friends, assemble. And the mainstay kids, Jimmy, Kyle, you, all take off to go home and change into their superhero costumes to become Coon and Friends.
Okay.
So that's how the game starts. And it's interesting because it introduces you very quickly to a mini game right after having you go through your character setup. And there is, I want to say that there's about 30 or 35 different hairstyles you can choose from to set up your character. There's the color tone that you get to pick. When I played the game on the Xbox, when I changed my color to black because I wanted to play a black female character, right. Cartman didn't say anything at all. There was no audio running at all when I was using the color slider. So that was completely missing in my game. I don't know if it's still in other versions, but there was nothing said to me when I picked my slider. And I waited a few seconds to see if it was a delayed reaction, and that didn't come through. But I set my character up from the beginning to very clearly be female. Everybody treated my character, the kids, as if my character was a boy.
Okay.
And I thought, haha, okay, whatever. Continue playing on. There's a lot of different choices you can make for some facial features, including facial hair, some base makeup. There are also, as you play through the game, the ability to get recipes for other costumes. So basically, the blueprints for how to build are the costumes. So you can constantly be changing your costume throughout the game. That doesn't give you any buff or perk. It just changes your physical appearance. But you can change it at any point in time in the game. What's interesting is that there's a lot that you can do and collect in the game away from the main critical story points, which is interesting. You can look for all of the recipes for costumes and whatnot. You can look for all the recipes for different runes, amulets, buffs that you can build, that you can craft. So there is an entire crafting layer. There are the abilities to look at your inventory to see what items you have. You can sell items from your inventory, especially if you're not going to use them. As an example, I've played a lot of the toilet mini games. As I say, I'm on the master path right now. Every time you drop a deuce, you get that deuce.
You get it.
Right, because fecal matter is an element that you use in the game.
Are you flinging poo around? Are you like a macaw?
I'm not flinging poo around, but I have used it to spike a drink for a DJ at a strip club. I have used it to craft some other elements that were needed.
Really?
Yeah, it's South Park. It's a big running fart and shit joke. True. And boogers and cum, which it sings to you when you find those elements. A little jingle.
It's, okay.
Yeah, it's South Park. It's really South Park. And they've incorporated, you know, jokes from the last two seasons into the game as well. So the whole gentrification of Shitipa Town, which when you look at the sign, you're like, oh, the shitty pot of town. Shitipa Town. Got it. Which is where Shitty Walk is.
Right.
Actually. And also medicinal fried chicken.
What?
Which was in the first game, but medicinal fried chicken is basically the pot dispensary. That's where you'll find Towley.
Oh, okay.
And you do have to battle Towley. He was sober, and then after this battle, he's no longer sober. You found out Towley's got a lady and kids and all kinds of stuff. So you got to run a mission there. You'll run into many, many of the key characters in the cartoon. So the mayor, the priest, you'll run into the counselor.
Is PC teacher in this?
Yes, PC principal is in it. And you'll find him at the microbrewery. And he will teach you how to find microaggressions. And so you have to go through this whole lesson of, you know, determining the blatant microaggression from the more subtle microaggression. And once you learn that trick, if you hear microaggressions and you catch them when you're in battles, it'll give you a free hit.
That's funny.
Morgan Freeman is in the game, and Morgan Freeman teaches you how to craft specialty foods that give you and release your inner power. And it just so happens that he works at the taco joint.
That's funny.
He is impersonated poorly, but is your Mufasa in the game, in that at certain points of time when you're like, I have no idea how to solve this puzzle, all of a sudden you will see like a dead Jedi appearance of Morgan Freeman, who like, you know what you need to do. Craft the Enchirito. And then that gives you a super fart that allows you to reverse time.
Wait, why does that allow you to reverse time?
South Park? Just like when you craft the spicy shrimp burrito, which requires roof-aged cheese from on top of Scooter's Bar, which now is, like, trying to be a artisanal place. Uh-huh. So it's, like, free-ranged vegan chicken. And you're like, there's no such thing as vegan chicken. But he has roof-aged cheese that you have to get up on the roof, and there is no jump button. So you have to use a Super Friends superpower that basically has you combo with them, that is also fart-powered, to do that. So as okay. an example, the kid that has diabetes...
Uh-huh.
It's Captain Diabetes, and you can throw him into a diabetic rage that gives him superhuman strength to, like, tip stuff over by pinning him down and farting in his face 3 times. And then he'll tip over whatever thing you set him up next to. Kyle is the human kite, because South Park.
Right.
And with him, you can do fartcore, which allows you to have Kyle jump on your back with his big kite, and using the power of wind from your buttocks, parkour off of things to get to higher levels.
Uh-huh.
So there are some buildings that have, like, chests on top of them that have runes in them, or other items that you use for crafting, artifacts, all kinds of stuff. So any place that you see a pinwheel... it's a place that lets you know this is where you could farcore. And so you call upon your friend Kyle, you get on your phone, your smartphone, and you manage everything on your smartphone in this game.
Of course you do, because that's how we live our lives these days.
Right. So you manage, you know, changing the look of your character, crafting items. They're all apps on your phone. Also swapping out your abilities. is an app on your phone, and I'll talk about that in a second, but you can see on the map where all your fast travel points are, and that's where Jimmy, the crippled comedian, will come, because his character in the game is called Fast Pass.
Yeah.
And is a knockoff of The Flash.
Yes, there was an episode of South Park, I think it was right before the release of Fractured Butthole, or in tandem to it, where they were establishing the Netflix...
Yes.
The setup for the game.
Pre-order the game, and if you want to know what's going on, here's your look at what's going to be happening. Yeah.
I mean, so it was so hilarious, that episode. Like...
The game is basically an extended version of that episode. That's what the game is.
Okay.
The Freedom Pals, the group who spun off, are basically also trying to find this cat because they want the $100. Cartman's upset because they have more followers on Instagram than Keenan friends.
And well, so because Chaos messed it all up in the episode because he had his Chaos guys, like, so Chaos on Facebook.
And they are sprinkled around town, and you run into them, so that is a thing in the game. Butters. So
says, that's hilarious. Yeah.
It is seeding chaos all over the place, so you have to fight Chaos guys and sixth graders, but you guys are basically trying to get this $100, and also at the same time, you're also trying to get your Coonstagram, followers up. So there'll be messages that pop up, like notifications on your phone throughout the game, as people are talking on Coonstagram about you, because one of the things that you have to do is to try and get people to take selfies with you. And some people will only take selfies with you if you meet certain criteria. Some of that is you have to have a certain number of followers already on Coonstagram before they'll selfie with you. And once somebody selfies with you, they become a follower.
Right.
So literally you start the game with 6 followers. Like I said, I've been playing for 7 hours. I think I'm somewhere in the neighborhood of like 900 or 1,000 followers on Coonstagram.
Okay.
As an example, I got Mr. Slave to take a selfie with me, like, right off the bat by the time I found Big Gay Al in Mr. Slave's house. But Big Gay Al won't take a selfie with me until I figure out the cat situation and why all the cats are disappearing kidnapped in town. Yeah.
Why are they being catnapped?
I haven't completely figured that out all together yet, but it has to do with drugs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it has to do with drugs. I have to get condoms for Stan's grandpa.
Okay.
He'll take a selfie with me.
How are you going to get condoms when you're, like, 8?
You have to buy them from a vendor. So there are vendors all across the town in different places. So as example, Scooter's Bar. Scooter is a vendor.
Okay.
Bebe is a vendor. And vendors sell some common items, but they all have unique items. So some of them, what's unique for them are the artifacts that they have, the buff perk things that you can buy that will increase your strength and your intelligence, your resilience, so your health, your luck, your strength. Some vendors will have unique just to them recipes for costumes or foods, because you can combine different foods to craft other super foods.
Right.
Your consumables you can use in game battle. It is the cost of a turn, but you can use them on yourself or your party. So burritos are healing for everybody, because burritos are healing. But you can also learn how to make macaroni Star of David's, which allow you to summon Moses. And Moses will revive everybody in your party and heal everybody in your party.
Wait, Moses and not Jesus?
Moses. I haven't found Jesus yet. I know Jesus is in the town because...
Go to the church!
No, he's not at the church, because the church is like one of the early missions that you have to go to, and you have to fight off these two priests that want to molest you.
Whoa.
Topical
much?
Yeah, it's so bad because one of the priests, as he's starting to caress himself and talk dirty, pulls a rosary out of his butt. They're big rosary balls, and then flails himself.
Yeah, with them. Yeah.
Because some enemies in the game, which does require you to have a little bit of strategic mind, and not just, okay, I'm going to hit you, and then I'm going to wait a turn, and then you're probably going to hit me, and hopefully I can outlast it, and then figure out if I need to heal, or if I can go on the attack. There are also enemies that take a few turns to actually let off their attack, and they basically telegraph where they're going to do damage. Because one thing that is different in Fractured Butthole, which I like because it forces me to think more strategic, is the way that you attack, based off of the powers that you pick that you have, you can attack in pattern. Or I should say, you attack in pattern. So some attacks will only be able to be executed directly in front of you on the linear path.
Okay.
Because the attack grid shows up and all players have to move and attack within the grid. But certain attacks have diamond-shaped attack patterns. So based on where you place your character, your attack may or may not reach a square that an enemy is on. So you may have to change the attack and not be able to use your mid attack because it attacks in a square directly around you and there are no enemies within your reach. So you may have to move to another spot, which you can do freely before you set off your attack. But you have to make sure the attack that you're using can reach. Otherwise, you have to end your turn and use that as just a positioning piece. So there's a little bit of chess kind of mentality thrown into the turn-based thing. And I think that's maybe why I don't focus so much on the turn-based thing, because I'm having to look at, okay, what areas can my character actually freely move to that will allow me to get to a place that I can actually let off my attack? And then what is the attack that will do the most damage or be the most beneficial to my team and then let that attack off? Or is this just a positioning move? And then I get to see how everything plays out. But there are some characters that telegraph, and what that means is it takes one or two turns for them to power up their move to let it off. Mm-hmm. But as they're doing their power up, the squares that are going to be affected, that are basically in the range of the attack when they let it off, show up with grid lines of red on them. So you can see, okay, all right, I'm on a square right now that if this attack goes off next turn, I'm going to get hit. So when it's my character's thing, I need to make sure that I move myself out of the way of this attack so I don't get hit. Because when it comes to enemies, friendly fire is on. So if in their own party, one of their team members is on a square,
they'll take damage.
Is that the same on your side too? Like when you have...
No.
Okay.
So that's nice, especially when you're fighting characters that are stronger than yours. So like there are sixth graders that will throw a water balloon, but they will actually be filling the balloon up that they take out with pee.
Oh.
And so that hits you with a debuff of grossed out if you get hit with it. Plus, it does damage to your health bar. But if any of their team members are standing in those blocks that are affected, when that balloon goes off, they're affected by it too, which makes sense, right?
Right.
If everybody gets hit by pee, everybody's going to be grossed out.
Right. Pee or poop, what are you talking about?
Exactly. It's very interesting because you constantly are having to hardcore strategic think about what it is that you're doing and where you're placing people. Knowing that, you know, just like you may have a healer on your team, they may have a healer on their team. So what's going to be the best place and the balance of powers? Because like I said, you could change your powers. So you start off with picking your initial class. And
what are you?
So initially, my first power that I picked was range attack. So I was a fire thrower.
Okay.
I still am. And then you get to a certain point in the game, because you can pick between brawler, which is basically keen on your tank, keen on strength, but a little slow. Your roguelike, which, you know, create at range, but not crazy resilient. And then I forget what the third one was, but I think it had to do with, like, elemental. That's what it was. Then you get to a certain part in the game, and Cartman calls you back to the lair, which the lair is his basement in his house, but it's locked. And so to get into it, you have to use a keypad. And the keypad has a word underneath each number, and it says the word when you say the number. So you have to scout through his house to find the code to get into the basement. And the code to get into Cartman's basement is Fuck You Mom. And then you get into his basement after you have to digitally listen to Fuck You Mom. And he starts talking to you and is like, hey, so your power's kind of lame. So you need a sub power. So let's figure out what it is. I went with psychic because you have some powers that, you know, do damage but also push an enemy back, which is great to use, especially against those that have those telegraphed moves because that moves their area of damage back. You have some moves that allow you to move multiple squares in front of you as part of the attack or take over the space of the enemy when you attack them in that space. And so you want to be checking out, like, not only what patterns your attacks use, but also do they allow you to switch places? Do they allow you to push back? Because you want to have equipped at least one move that pushes characters back, one move that hits people at range, and one move that gives you protection.
Right.
I find
you want to be well balanced in any fight, yeah. Obviously.
I find that to be a good balance for me. And so in my current lineup right now, I have two powers from my main class and two powers from my subclass selected. As you're playing the game, you have the ability to parry a little bit when you're being attacked. And if you do it successfully, it gives you bonus points towards building your overall XP for your team. When you build that, you're able to let off a superpower. And any character that's in your party can let off the super. And everybody has a unique superpower. So, as an example, the diabetes kid is Captain Diabetes, who uses the power of being able to manage his diabetes to leverage his super strength, which I find hilarious. But in his super form, he basically walks through a Candyland field, like, chugging down pixie sticks and eating cupcakes and, like, banes out into super strength and then just wrecks everybody for, like, 90 damage right now is what he's doing on average for me. Cartman, yeah. As the coon, goes through his super, which basically allows him to death slash people. And if it doesn't kill them, it at least inflicts bleeding, so they continue to do damage over time. But his buildup is just shots of him as the coon on the front of a bunch of different prestigious industry magazines, ultimately ending with him doing an interview as the coon with James Lipton, as if he was on Inside the Actor's Studio.
Right.
Which is hilarious to me. My super right now as the new kid is the power of my fart. And so I basically ingest a fireball and watch it go through my system and expel out of my asshole.
Doesn't yep. that hurt your butthole?
You would think that a flaming asshole would hurt, but it's my superpower, so I guess it doesn't hurt me. It's kind of like the Human Torch doesn't, like, disintegrate into just bones when he flames on.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm sorry, in my mind...
Yeah, I know, you're like, burning flame through my intestine should hurt, but I'm like, a superhero,
like,
so that's how
I think for a superhero, I feel like some of their powers, they should be able to do them, but I don't think that they should be impervious to pain a little bit. Like,
they're,
you know,
kids, of course.
Like,
not gonna.
Maybe instead of, like, it, like, ripping through him like fire, maybe, like, he's got to just put a little bit more force in there. You know, like, maybe it's a pressure more than a burn. Like, it should not just be, here's my butthole that can do all these things.
No,
pew,
here's
pew.
My flaming butthole. It can do all these things.
Pew, pew, pew. It's, I don't know, in my mind,
figuratively,
I'm like,
and literally, pew, pew, pew.
Ew. Yeah.
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 But it's really interesting because, you know, once again, it feels and looks like you're just playing through an episode of South Park. Which is not a bad thing if you like South Park. And it's straight South Park humor all the way through. At one point, you're called into the school because you have to talk to the counselor. And the counselor is like, yeah, I just want to... And says, hey, buddy, you know, I just want to talk with you a little bit. There have been some rumors going around that maybe you're not a boy. Maybe you feel like a girl. And so I just wanted to talk with you about that. Do you feel that way? And so basically, it's the point in the game where it's actually asking you to set up your sex. Because in the beginning of the game, even though you can pick really female features,
mm-hmm.
everybody still refers to you as a boy.
Ah.
Okay, and for a moment, even your parents do, who they're fighting because their marriage is breaking apart. And then when they see you, like, they pretend that everything's okay. But you know that nothing is okay. Mm-hmm. And so you then get to go and answer, like, whether or not you feel like a girl or boy. And there is no wrong answer. And it's one of the few moments in the game where I'm really, really proud of the South Park team. because I had already made the decision that my character was going to be a black chick, because I don't get to play black chicks all the time, and I don't get to play black chicks that are the hero of the game all the time.
Right.
Like, I already made that decision. Plus, there needs to be more than just Token in town.
I agree. But,
so when I went through this, and I knew that it was coming because I'd heard that there was a section of the game devoted to you actually identifying what your sex was, and that it allowed you to identify as other and to even specify that you felt transgender. And so I hadn't made up my mind yet whether or not I was going to identify in the game as cis or transgender. And because I really wanted to hear what the dialogue was going to be if I picked transgender. But I was like, I'm going to do this playthrough really as me playing the character that I want to play, which I identify as cisgender, because that's how I was born. That's my thing. Got right. Nothing against anything else. That's just my thing. And so I went through the thing. I was like, no, I'm a girl. And Mr. Mackey's like, well, you know, everybody thought you were boy. You know, I'm just going to call your parents real quick, okay? And then he gets on the phone and calls your parents and is like, hey, so, you know, I've got your child here, and we were just talking and stuff, and you know, she said the darndest thing, that she's a girl. What do you think about that? And then, if you identify as a girl, your parents are like, well, duh, yeah. The girl's like, oh, she is a girl. Oh, well, you know, that most of the town here has been thinking that she was a he, but that's good information to have. I think I'm going to be able to help from here on out. Okay. And he hangs up and he's like, well, it turns out that your parents also think of you as a girl. So that's just great. Now, I do have one other question, because, you know, there's different types of girls. You know, there are girls who are, you know, from the moment that they were born, girls, and have girl features. And that's cisgender. Okay? And then he goes up and he's like, but he's saying it so sweet in the way that only Mr. Mackey can. He's like, but there are some people who, you know, maybe weren't born that way, but as they got to feel older, came to understood that they felt that way. That they were not born a girl, but should have been. That's transgender. Okay? So which are you? And then it was like really cute little, like, late 70s game show, like, pop, like, decision-making music from a video game.
Right.
And has the different genders floating across the screen while you pick. And Mr. J's like, take your time, there's no rush, give it a good think, okay? Yeah. Because this is a big decision, yeah. And so finally I said, you know, Sissy's like, that's okay. You know what, if you're transgender, that'd be okay too. There's no wrong answer. You are you. And I was like,
aww.
Good job, South Park. Good job. But from that moment out, whatever pronouns fit for what you select there...
Start getting used.
Except for, initially, by the Coon and Friends kids who still think you're a boy. And so the only person who says that they knew, for instance, if you change your character and say that your character is a girl... or your character was a girl from the get-go, like mine, the only person who will say to your face that they knew you were a girl from the moment they met you was Wendy Testaberger, when she saves your butt from being trounced by a bunch of the girls from Raisins, which is their
right.
Little girl Hooters restaurant, because they have little raisins.
I got it.
But Wendy's playing superheroes, but nobody knows that she's playing superheroes, because obviously girls can't play superheroes, mm-hmm. As far as the boys in the town are concerned. But she saves your butt by basically setting up a massive unfriend, unfollow cipher that all the Rangers and girls start getting notifications that they're losing thousands of followers and go running off to try and figure out what happened. And then she drops down and you see she's dressed in silver and pink and purple and has, like, all these different phones and tablets on her. In the game, Wendy is Call Girl. Who uses the power of the internet, phones, and technology to her advantage. And she's like, I knew you were a girl from the moment that I met you, but I don't know why you won't tell anybody else that you're a girl. But I can understand if you want to be the mysterious type. Just know if you ever need help and intel... you can come see Call Girl. And I was just like, I fucking love you, Wendy Testaberger. So it's just super fun if you enjoy the South Park world. If you don't, you're probably not going to enjoy this game, because it is an excuse to be over-the-top South Park. So it is
the things they can't get away with in the show, they could definitely get away with.
Well, they're doing it in the show. Like if you buy the seasons, they're unedited, they're uncensored, so it's the full on South Park. But they are absolutely unadulterated South Park. As an example, when you're setting up your character, when Cartman finally acknowledges you, you have to have a backstory for your character. And the backstory of your character ends with, after you're able to, like, manifest your powers to stop the burglars that are in your home, you try to get to your parents, only to open the door and find your dad fucking your mom. Like, that was the tragic piece of your backstory.
Was that you thought you saw your parents you doing
saw,
it?
You saw your dad. No, no. Not that you saw your parents do it. You saw your dad fuck your mom. And that was the biggest betrayal. Because how could somebody love that's supposed to love you and take care of you fuck your mom? That's how Cartman thinks. Okay, and so later on, there's a meeting with the rest of the team in the game, and Cartman's like, you guys, just don't beat up on the new kid like that, okay? Because his dad fucked his mom. There, I've said it. I know it's a tragic moment for you, new kid, but everyone should know where you're coming from so they can be sensitive to it. And Kyle just looks Cartman like in the face and is like, dude, everybody's dad fucks their mom. And Cartman's like, don't say that. And he's like, no, it's the truth. Everybody's dad fucks their mom. And Cartman's like, oh, really? So did your dad fuck your mom, Kyle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. We're all here because our dads fucked our moms. And Cartman's like, you just need to be sensitive because you're being like really,
well, rude right that's now. Just because Cartman doesn't understand because Cartman's mom doesn't have a dad.
Exactly. Right. So that would really be like Cartman's tragic backstory. But he puts it on the new kid because he doesn't understand how anything works. And you're just like, yep.
I love it.
Yeah. So like, again, if you love South Park humor and really, the cartoon series in any way, shape, or form, the game is just a big, long journey in that universe, and you're part of it. So you gotta deal with rednecks, and you fight a bunch of them, and you can get artifact, a superpower from them that will give you a buff, again, for you and your whole team. Okay? There are, in the first game, you had to, like, try to find all the Chim Pokemon.
Yep, Chim Pokemon!
In this game, what you're looking for a particular person, is all of the Craig X Tweak Yaoi.
Oh, yes.
That is strewn above the town, all around the town. And so, like, you're looking for these photos, and sometimes you'll find them in bathrooms, in other people's homes. Some people have them framed, so you have to knock them off the wall. But you have to find all the Craig X Tweak Yaoi. And just like the episode where they were getting together, some of it is very yaoi.
Okay.
And they're all titled. So there was one that I found that was like crotch rubberu.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Also, can I just take a moment to acknowledge how beautifully they're dressing Tweak and Craig in this season? The last episode, before the Coon and Friends one, or one of, a little further back, like, Tweak is, like, bad-mouthing the president, and, like, no one's taking him seriously
Tweak
because, you know,
tweaking out to a new level.
Yeah. And, like, Craig is, like, trying to be that supportive boyfriend. He's, like, trying to, like, you know, calm him down. And, like, what a great, like, homosexual pairing and how balanced they are. Because, like, they could have taken that to an extreme, and they're really talking, really having that dialogue and conversation with the audience of South Park with them. I wish there was more that we get to, hopefully we're going to see more about that, because I think they're taking a really smart approach to it.
I think that, well, here's the thing that I loved about that, you know, similar to what you're saying, but it's just that the one episode of them coming together focused on them coming together, right?
Right.
This time, it is just, this is a natural piece of a relationship. It just happens to be between Craig and Tweak.
Right.
But it literally was just commentary on how do you be a good partner to somebody.
Just like, it's just, and that's why I loved Wink and Craig. It was so about, genuine. You
know, boys of Loveroo.
Right.
As they refer to it in the kit.
I'm trying to remember if the group, like, ever really, like talks to them, like, hey, so this is a thing? Like, I don't think there was ever, like, a...
No, at the end of the... After they, you know, held hands and kissed and whatever, like, that's just been it. Like, and that's one of the things I love about the South Park universe is once they make a decision and a thing is it...
Then like, that's it.
The thing. And then, so that's it. Like, it's done.
So.
Like, there's no need to, like, beat it into
over the head.
It's just a thing. So, as an example, in the game, the Freedom Pals came about from the guys that split off because they, basically, Tweak felt like he should have his own movie and that his movie should come before Craig's movie.
Right.
And Craig was like, no, the Wonder Tweak movie doesn't make sense unless we do Super Craig. And so Tweak and some of the other kids who didn't get their movies or features...
They didn't get origins. They all want origins. They left
to form their own franchise.
Right.
So on the other team, you have Token as Tupperware.
It's Tupperware.
Yep. You have Wonder Tweak, who is a psychic elemental. You have... Timmy, who's basically their Professor X, so the first that you have with the whole team, he's sitting in, like, a dapper suit in his chair, and then he puts his fingers to his head, like Professor X, like he's, you know,
right.
mentally, and then he speaks with a perfect British accent and dictation.
What? Oh, no, I had to play it just for that now.
Okay, and then when he stops, he goes back to his regular Timmy look.
Timmy! Right.
Yes. But when he's not, when he's communicating mentally, he has a complete somber, serious face and almost looks like the guy that plays young Xavier.
McAvoy?
Yeah, James McAvoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like that. So serious face like Timmy, and then he's like back to Timmy at the end of it. It's just like, God damn. Like, it's just, it's funny. If you enjoy South Park, it's funny as fuck. Because it's just a big old South Park episode. But with all these other little management things going on. So I, like, find myself, like, enjoying finding all the yaoi.
Of course you do. Who wouldn't? Yaoi's the best.
You know. But it's so funny because, like, they're all drawn by different people. So they're in all different kinds of anime style. So there's, like, Clamp style in there. Which is very fanciful and very articulate, and then you have your, like, cheap yaoi, like, boning, just for the boning part.
No, don't touch me there. Oh, I'm touching you there. I get it.
There is one called Don't Touch Me There. Because they're all, every piece of yaoi is titled, and the title supports what you're looking at, and when you find it, you get to look at it all big and in your face, so you can see it in great detail. And so it's when you're at, I think, Craig's house that his dad is like, I'm a collector of a certain type of art known as yaoi. And you're like, that's not how you say it, dude. He's like, but he's the quest giver that's like, find me these amount of photos, and if you do, I'll leave some money for you at your house. And so I'm like on the enthusiast level because I've collected like 15 pieces so far. Oh, I'm gonna collect them all. Like, I wasn't really on all the Chim Pokemon, but I'm gonna get all the yaoi. Yeah, I have to, because I want to see them all. So I've done a lot of selfieing. Pretty much anybody I walk up to that I get the prompt to either talk to people or take a selfie, because you won't get the prompt to take a selfie with everybody. But anybody that I see the prompt to take a selfie with, I'll ask.
And see what the deal is.
Oh, yeah. And then other ones will be like, well, if you can help so-and-so with his homework, or if you'll find my wallet that I left at the strip club, which the strip club right now is featuring artisanal strippers.
Art.
It's in the city patong.
Are you sure they're not vegan?
No. Literally, there's a big banner outside the
Peppermint artisanal exotic dancers.
No, artisanal strippers. They don't even say exotic dancers. It's strippers. First of all, the place is called the Peppermint Hippo. Second of all, right next to the name, with the peppermint striped hippo with its booby tassels out, is a big banner that says artisanal strippers.
Oh, okay.
Not exotic dancers. Like, there's, and by the way, the strip joint is a strip joint, so there's just titties everywhere. It's not tassels, it's titties. And some of them are hanging very low because they're very seasoned dancers there with the DJ, which you can get the DJ to do some things for you if you get him a gin and tonic or spike a gin and tonic. You do have to give a lap dance to a couple of guys to try and get some information. And it doesn't work, so you and Captain Diabetes gotta take him out. There's, you know, some used condoms that you need to find.
Okay, yeah. They're the
secret sauce that you need to spike drinks. Again, it's South Park. Like, don't be surprised. But basically, the drug ring that's going on that somehow is involving the cats involves the police, involves the sixth graders, and the mob that's in town somehow. Haven't figured that out, because like I said, I haven't finished the game yet. But early on, when you do meet the police station, the police chief, the one that goes undercover all the time, is Lola, to discover people who are buying prostitutes, but doesn't arrest them until he gets completely through the sex act with them. Which you can steal the Lola costume, by the way, and then yourself go around dressed as Lola. You get assigned a mission to find this person that's pushing drugs through the city that they're scared to go after because he has a lot of firepower. You show up at the house, and it's just a black dude.
Okay.
He's washing dishes in his kitchen, wearing the most yuppie outfit you could ever see. And you end up fighting me. He's like, I'm just defending my home. What is going on? Why are you attacking me? And finally you take him out. And the cops thank you for helping to get that junk off the street. You're like, I went into his house and fought him in his house. This is some bullshit. So even at South Park, the police are just going after unarmed black men. But they're using you to do it. Which made me feel bad because I'm a little black chick.
Right. Opening up that can of worms. I definitely would have
felt worse if I played as a little white dude. I felt really bad playing as a black chick, taking out this black dude who probably was not selling drugs to the community.
He was just doing his dishes.
He was just washing his dishes. So, you know, that commentary is still there. But I'm having a lot of fun playing the game. And like I said, if you enjoyed Stick of Truth, you're going to enjoy Fractured Butthole, because at the core, it takes that same gameplay and the same amount of character building and resource management and puzzle solving and just adds to it with more of that and involving more characters that you come to know. Like member berries, they're strewn all over the town and you can find them and they member different stuff. You get to member that with them. And you get an XP buff if you find so many. You know, so it's all there. I haven't seen President Garrison yet, but I'm sure that I'm going to get, you know, some messages on Coonstagram from him. And the town even talks to each other on Coonstagram too. So, like, if it's been a while since you've done a selfie with somebody, you'll see other people responding to other messages that were posted. Like, Craig and Tweak are fighting because they're, you know, not part of the same franchise universe, but they're also having, like, a fight in their relationship. So you can actually see, like, Craig, when you do a selfie with him, posts and talks about, you know, somebody helping him and really being supportive of, like, other people. And then Tweak responds, like, oh, really? Really? You took a selfie with the thing that I bought you? Real grown up, Craig. And he's like, whoa. I guess you guys are on a timeout right now. But Craig totally introduces himself as a gay superhero.
Nice.
Talks about, you know, his ex-boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ex-boyfriend.
Because they're fighting.
Right, right. But you can have fights and not break up.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Craig's mom and Tweak's dad will only take a selfie with you if you can help Craig and Tweak get through their rough patch right now.
Right.
So I have to resolve and get them back together before their parents will selfie with me.
It's like, yeah, we need your help.
Yeah. Like, literally, Craig's dad was like, oh, I can't possibly selfie with you right now. Not when Tweek's going through all of this stuff with his ex-boyfriend. Maybe if you can help him. Jim Bob lost his wallet at the strip club. He's like, so if you can go back there and find my wallet and bring it back, I'll give you a reward. We'll get a selfie. Some bartenders will only selfie with you if you buy a drink.
But you're, like, underage, so how does that work?
You still gotta buy a drink, and you still have to earn money. And so you earn money like a kid. So unlike earning, like, hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars for, you know, specialty, rare gems and things like that, when you complete a fight, sometimes you'll get a quarter. Sometimes you'll get 10 cents.
Right.
And burrito
robbers, and a burrito costs, like, $2.
Right. But you can also get just a wrapper that you can then use to fill with stuff for 20 cents. So, like, the cost is equal. There is a cell phone shop called D-Mobile. And the vendor at D-Mobile will only take a selfie with you if you'll buy his $30 data plan.
What?
So I haven't got that one yet because I'm like, not blowing this $30. I just got to $30. Do you know how much work I had to do and how many sixth graders I had to take out to get this $30?
A lot. Like 12.
A lot. Plus, I had to get away from the big booty hoe, spontaneous booty, when I was tracking down this chick at the strip joint. And spontaneous booty, and I think that this is going to happen often, so just be aware. Spontaneous booty is a boss that if you get hit in her telegraph area, it's an insta-kill.
Okay.
And she attacks spontaneously, so she doesn't have to wait a turn. Her meter just constantly fills up. So you basically have to make a choice very quickly, just keep moving forward. And you better have had equipped at least some attack, whether it's going to hit a person or not, that moves you two spaces or three spaces forward. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck in that area, and you're going to get hit with spontaneous booty. She a big black chick.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
So, yeah.
Well, then, that game sounds ridiculously fun.
It is ridiculous. That's the thing. It's ridiculously fun. And there are a lot of people that I have seen talking about this game online this week who are offended by one thing or offended by another thing. And some people that I've seen that just flat out say that done nothing short but call the game an abomination. And for those people, I say, look, I hear it. It's not your cup of tea. But the game isn't meant to be serious. It never takes itself seriously. Even in the fight structure, it doesn't take itself seriously. So no one should take the game seriously. It's a South Park game.
Right.
It's based on South Park, which is a ridiculous animated cartoon that is a comedy. And it pokes fun at itself and all the stuff that its creators find is hypocritical or asinine. And if you don't like it, that's cool. You don't have to play it. You don't have to watch it. But I enjoy the break from so much serious stuff of games that take themselves very seriously and mechanics that take themselves very seriously to just play something that is a running fart and shit joke as a nice break from the monotony of all the other stuff that I do. Because it's just stupid fun. And sometimes you need a little stupid fun in your life.
I agree.
Okay? There's a lot that I could take and allow myself to be offended by. I could allow myself to be offended by girls can't be superheroes. But I know it's not true. And they give me Wendy Testerberger on the down low superheroing it and doing it better than the boys. I'm good. Let me have my stupid fun. Allow me to roam through Big Gay Al and Mr. Slave's home because they're an item. And find the gerbil lube, which I could use to craft a really cool one-time use weapon. Thanks, gerbil lube. Okay? There's lava that gets thrown around the city. They're red Lego blocks. I don't have the power to walk across them. So if I touch the floor that's covered in lava, red Legos, I will get damaged and die. That is adorably cute. Okay?
Do you think you'll get the power too, though?
I think so, yeah. Because it's all gonna happen, okay? That the handicapped kid that uses braces to walk, his superpower is that he's super fast and he's fast pass is awesome. You know, most of the kids get to pick and created superheroes that allow them to do the thing that they can't do. You know, Timmy is this big, cerebral, powerful brain. And in his mind, even though he was born and raised in South Park, Timmy speaks with a British accent.
Right.
Because he gets to enunciate and sound super smart, which is what Timmy is on the inside. You know, all of their super characters are who they are on the inside. So Cartman's a coon. Kyle is the human kite.
Yep.
Stan is mosquito. It just grosses people out and spends all of his time and sometimes a big chunk of his money at Raisins when he shouldn't be because he and Wendy are broken up. So he just wants to be around girls that tell him that he's wonderful and all these things, but never ever pay for any of the wings that he gets.
Wow.
So, like, I think it's great. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to play this game through to the end. I might even play it a second time just so that I can make a male character. But I don't know. I don't know how much further I have to go in the game. Like I said, I'm about 7.5 hours in at this point. And I've been having a blast the entire time. You know, I've never hit anything where I was just like, nope, and I'm out, like I'm done. But I like South Park. I have since the first season. I own almost every single season, including the movie. I really hope they do another movie soon. I really want it to be a musical. But I'm enjoying it. So, like I said before, at the start of this episode, the too long didn't read is, if you liked the first game, which I did, you're going to like this second game.
The end.
The end. That's what I got for you guys this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please make sure that you subscribe. You can do that by going to our website, electricsisterhood.com, and clicking on the subscribe link that we have right on the right-hand side of the website. It also has links to our main feed if you want to get all the stuff that we write about on the site in your news reader of choice. Or you can just visit the site to do that. We put up new reviews and articles throughout the week, every week, so you can check out what we're thinking about, talking about, and writing about, as well as the rest of the entire crew that makes up the Land of Esh. So make sure that you bookmark that site, as well as all the other great sites that are maintained by everyone that makes up Land of Esh. So be sure to bookmark electricsisterhood.com, b3crew.com, smashrook.com, issuesprogram.com, and nerdcrave.com, because between all of us, we cover games, new and old, anime, manga, TV shows and movies, as well as comic books, so you will be thoroughly entertained. Hit us up on our social. You can find us on Instagram at ESH News, as well as on Twitter at ESH News, and we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Land of Esh. Be sure to check out our stuff. Comment, like, share, so we can get the word out. We share all kinds of great content and video. So please, please, please give us a follow, give us a like, and let us know if there's anything that you want us to check out. We'll be sure to do so. So shout us out on social, drop us an email, use the contact form on our website, send up a smoke signal, whatever it is. And if we do it, use it, mention it, we'll give you a mention here on the podcast as well. So you can have your 5 seconds of fame, because everybody deserves some internet fame. Everybody deserves some internet fame. So, for great recaps of TV shows and movies, check out the homie Phil the Issues Guy with Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. Definitely like and subscribe. Our homie Hamsterman2049 live streams every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Hamsterman2049. Playing retro games as well as new ones. I watched him play Evil Within 2. And that's probably as much of that game that I will ever see, but I had a real good time watching him play it. So make sure that you check it out. Our homie King Baby Duck, every other week, putting out a brand new episode of the No Borders, No Race podcast. Great music from all kinds of artists that you've heard of and a bunch that you haven't. So make sure that you check out his show. You can get it in iTunes as well. No Borders, No Race. And of course, our friends over at Nerd Crave, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave. hiatus ending soon, so be on the lookout for them coming back strong with all the comic, manga, anime, and game stuff that you can handle. So that's about it for the business this week. I hope you enjoyed my experience through Fractured Butthole, because man oh man, Fractured Butthole. Until next time, people, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
Titties.